wrap me up here at Martin Malloy, where in the next hour, Sheryl Crow is going to be here. Not one of her CDs, actually her, sitting in this chair.
Good.
And we'll be having a yap to her. One of the very first guests we had on the show. I don't know if you remember back that far, Mickey.
Oh, it's a long time ago now.
Remember when she came in and we had the sort of trainee stickers on back in the early days?
I can't remember last Tuesday.
All right, well.
Don't ask me those taxing questions.
Well, what about yesterday, prize dicks? Remember yesterday? We had a bloke who told us a story. It was quite an elaborate story. He was out with a girl having a bit of a pash on the side of the road. The car's, the brake slipped off. He's gone down the hill, crashed his car into a tree. We're fairly unimpressed.
Wasn't going to win anything.
No, wasn't going to win. And then we've said, where had you been?
I've been to a concert.
Who was the concert of?
The Vapors.
And yes, that's the kind of behaviour that gets you a prize. On Prize Dicks in the next hour. Also, Radio Gladiators coming up. I think we're going to be asking you to be Peter Costello today. I know that's an unpleasant task.
Boy.
So get the smarmy smile happening now.
Yep.
Get working on it in front of the mirror. And I'm just going through some of the little crumbs. What's the story? Can I just borrow this, Mickey?
Yeah.
Susie Maroney.
What's she done?
Broken all world records with the swim.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently.
Mm.
Got to the other side. Gone to Cuba.
Mm.
Jumped in. Swum for ages.
Mm.
Got to America. Got to an easy pointy bit of America. Mm. Gone, no, I'm not going to stop there. I'm just going to keep going.
Right.
It's gone out of her way, 8 extra Ks, as she didn't need to do, into another bit of America. Got to the shore, just kept swimming. The cage is up. It's on a freeway at one point, overtaking vehicles. They couldn't stop her, leaving a trail of chicken fat where'er she go.
Mm.
And also, I have to ask about something. What were you talking about yesterday on the show? We've had a lot of inquiries. People thought you were making it up.
No.
But apparently some...
It's a new alarm system designed for drivers to prevent drivers from falling asleep at the wheel.
Right,
it's a camera stroke system that, looks at you, and if it detects any change in concentration or...
How does it do that? How does it detect change in concentration?
I suppose facial...
It reads facial expressions.
Expressions, yeah.
Imagine if Julia Morris had one of those at her car and she was on her way to a TV week.
Oh, dear. Deep Blue wouldn't be able to work that one out.
The windows would be going up and down. It'd be stopping, starting, the aerial, the horn going off, the airbag deploying. I still can't work out. How does it read facial expressions?
I don't know. It just has a look. And if it thinks, well, there's a dopey bastard.
And what's the facial expression when you're falling asleep? What, your eyes shut?
That'll be it.
I want to test this bastard out. And it's not a mate, because people were calling out going, is that for real? I think a lot of people want to know where they can get one, Mick, so we'll keep people up to date.
I could trick it easily. Just a pair of sunnies.
Yeah.
And, you could be asleep for hours and it wouldn't even know.
It wouldn't know.
Yeah, you'd be driving 120 k's down the road, snoring. Can't detect snores.
Oh, it hates that. It hates that.
Mm.
Any other new, exciting stuff going on?
I'm surprised it's taken us this long to get round to it, but Tone... Check this out, plucked from today's papers. A cheese, once banned in Italy over its alleged aphrodisiac qualities, is to be produced again.
Oh, great!
Hurrah! Italy banned the Dunlop cheese in the 1960s, arguing it contributed to a sudden rise in local birth rates. Wow, that's fantastic. Aphrodisiac cheese. Tone, why is it when I say that phrase, aphrodisiac cheese, all I get is a mental picture of a horny Peter Russell Clark in David Duchovny's Speedos going, where's the cheese?
Where's my pretend girlfriend?
Oh, no. Is that a good idea, Tone? Aphrodisiac cheese? Are you into it?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if I can handle it. You know what I'm like? Two-tasted ham and cheese sandwiches and I'll be anybody's.
This is Martin Malloy.
Well, I'm against it.
Brought to you...
You're listening to Martin Malloy. Thanks to Coca-Cola and Peach. Say those magic words.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
I'll point you in for that music, Andy. We'll be fine. Andy, our stunt producer, is here. He's still getting the feel.
And I'm going to be pointing anyway, just to confuse you. At any moment, I'm going to be going off.
It's a point fest in here. That's how all these sound effects and bits of music come in. We all do the crouch and point Jim Kerr of Simple Minds style.
Hey, come back, Sance! Sance was holding up a crucial document at the window. What does it say, Sance?
It's the program that's not quite ready.
M231.
It's yet
you got
to...
that, Andy? Don't let the audience know what we're talking about.
When this show is ready for firing, we'll go and put it in the kiln and hope that there's no... Yep. is, of course, on the ABC. It's not on any of the commercial stations. I love on Channel 9, you get half an hour of funniest home videos and they've got a two-minute budget update. Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah.
I hope Danny McMaster's providing the silly voices and sound effects under that one. But today we're saying, why can't you be the federal treasurer? He's going to be fronting up on your telly about 7:30 tonight. He's going to step up to the podium. He's going to open the yap. What's he going to say? What is going to be the first thing he says? We want you to call us up, men and women alike. Be Peter Costello.
And drop a bombshell.
Just drop a budget bombshell. Let's just start with something simple. And, I don't know, you could step up and you... I've just arrived.
You've arrived.
I've arrived.
He commands respect for Peter Costello.
He does. Hi, I'm Peter Costello, and I'm pleased to announce that from tomorrow the pension will be available to anyone over the age of 50 who has successfully swum from Cuba to Florida in under 40 hours.
Oh, lovely.
That's the kind of budget bombshell that might be happening tonight.
I got you. I got one. Hello, everyone. I'm Peter Costello, and I announce that all funds that were to be ploughed into public housing will now be invested in the Spice Girls film.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
No, it's going to be a Mel C-led recovery.
It could be something real simple. I'm Peter Costello, and I'm appearing on your screens despite my obvious eight-month pregnancy. What about that?
All right. I'm Peter Costello, and all males over the age of 18 are to lop off the testes before the arrival of the Hale-Bopp Comet.
No, because we know around budget time he likes to hand out the blankies. Now he can hand out little purple ones.
He does. Have we still got that photo? I want it framed.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what about this? Here's some good news for the Australian public. I'm Peter Costello, and I hereby pledge never to dance the Macarena in public again. It was a short-lived fad, which I should never have got involved in. Now here's the budget. Superannuation reform is a key plank in this budget, with tax breaks for savings and pension delay, house bonuses,
yes.
What about that for
an idea? I like it a lot. Hello, I'm Peter Costello, and I'm announcing partial funding of new drugs for the elderly once testing has been completed on Dougie the Pizza Boy. Yes! How about that one? Them apples.
It could be anything. I'm Peter Costello, and I'm so oily, this country need never import petrol supplies ever again.
Lovely. I'm Peter Costello. Interest rates for the June quarter will be forced to run away and join the circus.
I'm Peter Costello, and the national deficit is no more, as your government has just merged with the cast of Seinfeld.
I'm Peter Costello, and all long-term unemployed will be encouraged to use the force when looking for jobs.
Use the force. I'm Peter Costello, and I'm offering every Australian one tax-deductible working lunch at that new Hooters in Sydney. There's some news people would want to hear.
Oh, we've got to stop. Leave something for the punters.
Okay, that's all we want. We want your Costello-style budget bombshell.
I'm Peter Costello. Check me ghoulies.
There you go.
Be a bombshell.
It could be. It would be. And you know, like Michael Flatley, this is a little known fact. Peter Costello has to have sex within 1 hour of delivering a budget speech.
Does he?
Yeah, often with someone else.
Wow.
That's a surprise. But we want you to call us up, drop a budget bombshell, and do we have a prize?
We'll take that as a no. that'll do. That's Peter Costello's play on music at the budget tonight.
What is this music? Oh, you recognise this? It's the theme from the $6 Million Man. Oh, that was worth waiting for. Everyone at home, jump over a fence slowly.
I can't do it. I hate it when you do them and I can't do them.
It's simple. It's just da-na-na-na-na. It's a long word.
Dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga.
That'll do.
Dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga.
Is this still going to air, you ask? We've got a six-pack of CDs for the listeners.
Dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga.
Featuring The New Devil Drives by Dave Graney.
Dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga-dunga.
He's got some of Steve Austin's old offcuts hanging up in the wardrobe. And, of course, Dave's new single, Feeling Kind of Sporty, is worth getting your hands on. It's in the shops now. A six-pack of CDs, that's more than you'll get tonight from the Federal Treasurer. Call us up, fill his shoes, and drop a bombshell. 1-800-657-657. Lay Your Love on Me here at Martin Malloy. I was just momentarily confused because whenever I see that name, I think, are we playing Racy on the show now?
Right.
Come on,
gotcha.
Baby. Let's just do that one day. Let's just do that. It's Martin Malloy Gladiators, Radio Gladiators, and today we're letting people step into the shoes of Peter Costello and drop a budget bombshell because that's what could well be happening.
Oh, yeah.
On your telly live tonight, round about 7:30. Who's our first treasurer, Mick Malloy?
I believe it's Chris. Are you there, pal?
Yeah, hello there.
That's the way. How are you?
Yeah. Excellent.
That's the way. Now, you're going to Peter Costello up for us,
yes,
are you?
Ready for it.
All right, well, hit us with your bombshell, Pete.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of Australia. My name's Peter Costello, and I'm gay.
So you think he's going to be coming out of the closet like Alan?
Camp is a row tent.
Hello, I can't hear him.
I think we've got some satellite trouble. Yeah. Okay, but he's going to be...
That'd be good if we couldn't hear Peter Costello tonight.
Yeah, now, that's an idea.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out of the closet is one thing, you know, with Melissa Etheridge guest starring on the budget broadcast, but not being able to hear him.
Oh, that'd be great.
Perhaps that's a fantastic idea.
That'd be gold.
Have we got Adrian on the line? You there, Adrian?
Better believe it, I'm here.
So, are you ready to play the Federal Treasurer?
Am indeed.
Okay, take it away.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, tomorrow morning, Australian coppers will pay full price for McDonald's.
Oh, that's a bold move. You think people will like that? Is that fair?
Oh, I think it is indeed.
I mean, that's one of the main reasons people become policemen in this country is
well,
to get
it
that
is.
Half-price Maccas.
I saw the guy who plays the cops from the Village People down there trying to get half-price McDonald's.
Is that allowed?
Oh, I don't know. He's giving it a burl, though.
That's something for the Police Royal Commission.
Exactly.
Gee, no wonder they've never caught that Hamburglar. It's a payola deal.
Indeed.
Have we got, I think, our next treasurer is going to be Alison. You there, Alison?
Yes.
You're our federal treasurer for this segment. Take it away. Bombshell.
Well, I believe you'll walk out, resign, and B1 and B2 will walk out and take over.
Oh, B1 and B2?
Well, they'd be a lot more popular.
You think so? Because they don't say nothing at all.
No, they'd be more popular, I think, than him.
Okay. Do the kiddies enjoy treasurers in pyjamas?
That's what I'm tipping. He should just do it in his pyjamas.
All right.
That's an idea.
It's well past his bedtime, 7:30. He's got to be back in his coffin pretty much once the sun goes down. Have we got, I think, Peter is going next. Are you there, Peter?
Sure am, fellas.
Well, you've got the right Christian name, so you ready to play the role?
I am.
Take it away.
Okay, I'm Peter Costello, and I just let a bloody rip snorter go.
Oh, yeah. Just peeled off another budget, have you, Pete?
I'll tell you what, I've been sitting here letting him go, so nervous getting on to you. Bloody stinks in here.
Oh, great. Oh, no, I'm just so jealous. I'm so envious. I can't actually be there with you.
You know, Edwin De Bono said the same thing when he came on the program. Okay. Thanks very much, Peter. Class all the way. And, of course, Anne is our next treasurer. You there, Anne?
Yep.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Are you ready to play the role of Peter Costello?
Definitely.
Are you smarmy enough?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, take it away.
Good evening, suckers. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to pass down the most outrageous budget you've ever heard. As of tomorrow morning, any silly old fart who barracks for Pauline Hanson's One Nation Party will pay the PH tax.
Oh, I don't like
Hanson
it.
Tax.
Oh, okay, the Pauline Hanson tax.
And they'll have to pay three times more than they normally do.
Gee, well, that's, I don't know, is that going to be popular with mainstream Australia?
Yes. Does he care what anyone thinks?
I don't really feel qualified to have a... on Pauline Hanson, because I come from the leafy suburbs of in Melbourne. Have you heard that? Unless you're Bob Catter, unless you live in a Unabomber shed in the middle of the desert, you can't have an opinion on Pauline Hanson. Oh, yeah, yeah. More of that psycho babble from the leafy suburbs of Sydney and Melbourne.
I hate that.
Oh, please.
Okay, well, have we got the Unabomber on the line? I'd like to hear his budget.
So maybe you could do the budget tonight dressed as the Unabomber in the windcheater and the glasses. We're coming up with some good ideas anyway, son.
Oh, look, Justin is sitting on pure spun bloody gold. Are you there, Justin?
Sure are, fellas.
Deliver your budget, sir.
Okay, I'm Peter Costello, and to tackle the budget, I'm opening a McDonald's at Parliament with Amanda Vanstone and Mal Colson eating there only. And all unused tomatoes from the Big Macs may be used as tomatoes for protests for Pauline.
Oh, well, he's got everything in.
He's had a go at just about everything.
That's like one of them cakes with everything on it, with a little bicycle and everything. Okay, well, that's pretty good. I think
pretty nutty.
A long-time listener. Thank you, Justin. I think Jason is going to boot this home. Are you there, Jason?
Yes, I am.
You've just been sworn in as Federal Treasurer for Australia. Deliver your budget.
Well, you all know who I am, and I'm here to announce $6 million for the creation of a Boone Museum in Canberra.
Oh, that's a yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but I've decided to applaud.
They came round in the end, Jason.
And a Boone Museum. Mm. I mean, would that smooth over everything?
Oh, he is an icon.
So you think that if people, they wouldn't worry about the super, they wouldn't worry about any, as long as Boone is being properly recognised in Canberra. Mm. Is that our winner? I don't know.
Well,
let's just go for a run. We've got Chris announcing that he's gay, and then Adrian with the Macca's deal. Then we have B1 and B2, of course. We've got Peter with the backdoor bizzo, and with the PH tax. Justin, you just got the word nut written next to him, and Jason with the Boone Museum.
Don't make me do this. Have you seen anything in there that you could possibly reward?
I think Alison with the B1 and B2 suggests.
There you go!
Yes.
It's unanimous.
I think we've had too many Boone-related winners on this segment.
Can't be done.
Are you there, Alison?
Oh, wow, I can't believe it.
You've got a six-pack of CDs.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
That's coming your way, courtesy of the federal government and, of course, Martin Malloy. And you're going to be watching the budget tonight?
Well, I suppose.
You'll have to...
No, I don't know. It depends if my son wants to watch it or not.
What you want to do is see if you can get the pictures from the budget, but the sound from Funniest Home Videos. So if you can tee that up, that's the way to go at 7:30.
Okay.
All right, thanks for taking part, Alison. Thanks to everybody who delivered a budget today. We'll be back in the next hour with Cheryl Crow.
This is Martin Malloy.
In this hour of Martin Malloy, Budget 97, we'll have our pre-budget budget update with full budget analysis, a budget preview of the post-budget fallout, a mid-budget budget overview, and Laurie Oakes and a boob tube to stop you nodding off. The prize decks, they're ready to go. And next up, Cheryl Crow is here. All thanks to Coca-Cola. Oh, what a night.
Mm.
Oh, what an afternoon here at Martin Malloy. The Four Seasons. Still getting about.
Still plugging away with that tune. It's great to hear.
Hey, listen, our guest is here, Mickey.
Oh, good.
Smarten yourself up. She's had two hit albums and you can buy them in the shops.
Wow.
She's won Grammys and she's sung backup for Michael Jackson without the protection of a shark cage and chicken fat. You'll be pleased to know. Please, a polite round of phony applause for Cheryl Crow. Cheryl, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Now, you were on, I think, our third or fourth show, and we had absolutely no idea what we were doing in those days, but as you can see, we're slick professionals by now.
I'm very impressed with the update you all have made here.
Yeah, you were the biggest name we'd had on the show, except for, I think, the bloke who was Mr. Cooper and hanging with Mr. Cooper.
That's big. That's big. That's big stuff.
Now, of course, a lot's happened to you since then. You've been round and about, and it's all led back to, of course, Australia, where you were on stage a couple of days ago with Elton John at the casino. What was going on there?
Oh, it was a blast. You actually called me in the afternoon and said, I'm going to come down. Mm. And you never know with people, because that whole thing was a big scene anyway, whether he was going to be able to get over. But sure enough, he was there from the beginning and came up on stage, and it just was a blast.
What was he wearing? Come on, tell us.
I actually do not know what he was wearing. However, I told him I was offended that he looked nicer at my own gig than me.
And we were asking you about this off-air, the big Elton John birthday party. You weren't there?
I was not there. I was supposed to be there. I had my hoop skirt all lined up, but I was going to go as a Southern Belle, you know.
Oh, that would have been embarrassing, because wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Now, let's get down to the serious questions. Do we have any, Mick? Oh, look, we've got to ask you about something, Cheryl.
Mm.
We often play your song Every Day is a Winding Road here on the program.
Right.
We found a little interview with you, and someone's asking you about the song and the origin of the song, and you say it actually came from having worked on the road with another band and their drummer was always getting ready to leave. And the thing that always fascinated me about this guy was he was always so in the moment. Ringing any bells, Mickey?
Oh, I think I'm tuning in.
Actually, I have to say, though, I know I didn't say that.
Let us finish.
Anyway, I know somewhere. I'm being set up here, but I know I didn't say
that. No, this is great. You ran into him later. He had a baby. You said, well, what did you name her? He said, I named her Sunday. And I said, really, was she born on a Sunday? He said, no, she was born on a Friday. I just thought, well, okay, and I went home and I wrote the lyrics to this song. Is that basically true?
Part of that is true, but
because,
not entirely.
Young Paul Hester from Crowded Houseworks on this program. He used to be a drummer for that band, and, of course, he's got a kid called Sunday.
Yes.
Coincidence or not.
Actually, that is true. I loved Paul. I was really affected by him. Mm. Although, when I was working with him, he wasn't always leaving. He only left once. That was all it took. But
you should hang around. You could get a song a day out of that place.
He's great. I mean, he's such a great energy. I mean, I've never... Well, you guys know him. I mean, well, he just totally lives life as it comes, and, you know, he's very unpredictable and stuff. I didn't actually, to be honest, I didn't even know him that well, except, you know, the couple of weeks that I worked with him.
I was walking down the street the other day, and he was up a cherry picker with a cape on.
You're kidding me.
No, mounting a political rally. That's the kind of bloke he is.
Oh, my gosh. Well, why does that not surprise me?
That was a slow day for Paul.
It's funny because he comes in on the show every couple of weeks and we're always playing that song and he's never mentioned that to us at all.
Well, I've probably even said that only in one interview.
Okay, you mentioned, Cheryl, things are being written about you. What outrageous stuff has been written about you lately that's totally bogus?
The fact that I'm marrying Dwight Yoakam.
Where does that come from? How does something
that
like that?
That was actually in the National Enquirer. Well, because I worked with him on his record. He just made this record that is it's just amazing. The most amazing record. I don't know if you all are hip to Dwight Yoakam or not.
We don't play him on the show, but I think the Spice Girls are recording one of his numbers and then we'll
really
be familiar with his
that
work.
That would be good for them. But anyway, I was working on his record and we happened to go to this movie premiere, The Saint, and there were cameras everywhere. And then less than a week later, this radio DJ. In fact, I heard him. I turned on my radio and I heard him say, yes, she's finally admitted to it. She's, you know, been so secretive about her relationship with Dwight Yoakam and they are getting married. It's official today.
Wow,
and I just was standing there going, wow, that is amazing that this, you know, that they can do that. But anyway.
Well, I went to see The Saint with Mick here, so.
Has any rumors started?
Nothing at all.
I'm going to call the Enquirer.
We'll get in there.
Did you enjoy The Saint? Some of those costumes were pretty good. So could have rocked up to Elton John's birthday party.
He probably was there. Let's just talk about that for a second. How did he get into the Kremlin? Did you find that? He's in the Kremlin. All the blokes are sitting around the Kremlin going, we've got to find the saint. And there he is over by the fireplace, cleaning the joint.
I just thought he was doing Jerry Lewis as the Nutty Professor the whole time.
Standing behind him dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire. Shh, everyone. The saint could be here.
Well, as you can see, our show's improved tenfold since you were here last. Cheryl, can you stick around for another break with us?
Yeah.
The story. Every day is a winding road here at
Martin Molloy.
And Cheryl Crow is still with us on the program today. Cheryl, we were talking about things that get written about you in the paper. Since you've arrived in this country, I noticed several articles have been written where you claiming that you're not getting enough sex. Have you noticed that? That's the important thing. You've got an album out and there's
Is that really true?
Yeah, there's a quote. Apparently you threw it away in a concert and everyone's going, Cheryl Crow, not getting enough sex.
Oh, you know.
Welcome to Australia.
It's just gotten that low, hasn't it? That is amazing. I have to be honest, I never read anything ever written about me. I very rarely turn on the TV unless it's CNN. Hey. So I'm sort of oblivious to all this stuff, although that's a pretty fascinating quote, don't you think? I'm glad to know about that. I'm going to quit saying that if I ever have.
Okay. And Cheryl, the other thing, I picked up some kind of magazine a few months ago and there was a picture of you and they had like shots of you with all different hairstyles over the years. And they're going, they were trying to equate record sales to what haircut you had.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that great?
Which one was the most lucrative for me? I need to get back to that.
Does that happen, though? Do people from record companies actually urge you how to have your hair done? Does it get that ridiculous in
America? I don't know what other people do, but my record label, they basically try to stay as far away from me as possible at all times.
Well, talking about making records, your album, Cheryl Crow, I notice whenever people refer to it, the words swampy, voodoo-y, sexy, you sort of mentioned. Where did you make it? In some swamp?
In the middle of a swamp on a wooden raft.
Is that kind of what you were aiming for?
Swamp. Total swamp feel. Voodoo. Witchcraft. The whole thing. Satanic. No, I don't want to say that. We already know how the sex thing got out of control.
Oh, don't mention that. We're in enough
Next
trouble.
Next thing I'll know, I'll be like satanic worshipping, boiling squirrels and skinning cats.
Did I read somewhere you're learning to play the harmonica?
I did. I'm playing. It.
They're playing it already.
I picked up a bunch of little Walter and Sonny Boy Williamson, and I've been playing it.
Any other instruments you're keen to conquer? You had a good look at the tuba?
No, because actually, it always hinders one's wardrobe, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to get better on bass, but no.
And you're keen on the Hammond organ? You're a big fan of the Hammond?
That's such a stupid quote.
Oh, look, I've got a million of your stupid quotes.
I have been fighting that stupid quote for 2 years now.
We love the Hammond organ on this program.
We've taken umbrage.
No, the quote, somebody wrote a bio on me at the beginning of this record saying that I had said it was the sexiest instrument of all or something.
Yeah, and well, who's arguing
that? It's a piece of wood.
So tomorrow the headlines are going to be, Sheryl Crow's having sex with a Hammond organ.
She's organ crazed.
She breaks the drought with the Hammond. All right, I'm not asking any more questions because I might be labelled stupid.
That could never happen, Mick Malloy. Cheryl, we saw you, I think, at the Brit Awards. Did you bag one of those?
I won. I was really stunned. And actually, that's a really cool thing. For me, that was cooler than the Grammys. Because it's, you know, to be a worldwide artist, in a million years I wouldn't have thought they would have released my records outside of Missouri, let alone,
right.
You know.
Where's the weirdest place you've found you've been charting?
I don't know, but I understand we're getting a lot of play in South America and Costa Rica. We're actually going to try to go to South America this year, which I think will be interesting.
Where are you actually from, Missouri? What part?
I'm from the Boot Hill, which is like as far south as you can go. I'm about an hour and 15 from Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Very swampy.
It's very swampy. A lot of voodoo, a lot of witchcraft.
And do you get back to the hometown? How do they take you there?
I do. I get back almost every Christmas. I'm going home in 2 weeks, so my parents are having withdrawal.
Well, Cheryl, we'd like to thank you for coming in today and talking so seriously about your music with us. And I'm sure you want to get back to that Hammond organ.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, thanks for talking to us.
I was going to say something really lewd, but I won't. I'll just say thank you for having me on your nice program.
To free here at Martin Malloy. That'd be the Bodines. And Pete, I think it's time for a bit of a time call.
It's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've showed up at an AC/DC concert dressed like one of the Pet Shop Boys. Perhaps you've unthinkingly asked Helmut Kohl when the baby's due. Or maybe you're just the leader of the One Nation Party. Whatever your tale of woe, Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to turn dictum to triumph and bag yourself a prize in the process.
We'll attempt to do just that. We'll coax them out, Pete. I'm just going through the papers, Mick, looking for potential prize dicks. Obviously, Garry Kasparov.
Yep.
Potential.
Sure.
Those people who are going to be filling the shoes of Nicky Buckley on Sale of the Century. Mm. Now, it's not as easy as it looks. I was speaking to Pete Smith, and he was just saying, you know, they don't realise how difficult it is, Tony.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just swish in there and point at things. It's a lot more complicated than it looks. Who are the three who are... Because it takes three people to fill the shoes of Nicky Buckley.
I believe you've got Gina Jeffries.
Gina
Jeffries. Big country singing sensation. Yeah. Hello. Red Hot and Rhonda.
Oh, Rhonda Birchmore. In a show created especially for the gift shop. It won't just be swishing about. That'll be something with like lots of backup dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other one?
It's a reporter from the Money Program.
Oh, it's not Paul Clitheroe in the high heels of the short skirt, is it?
That's my tip.
That'd be right. I'm just seeing if there's any more dicks. I see some ballet dancers have fallen for Black and White magazine, the coffee table penthouse, and dropped the duds. But the pictures are very tasteful.
Absolutely.
Anyone else? Who am I missing?
Oh, you're missing the big kahuna, Prince Charles.
Oh, look.
Now, look, you could include him for a number of reasons, but there's something that's taken our fancy here. Can I read you this,
Dane? Sure, give us a mail.
Bemused guests greeted by Prince Charles in a traditional Muslim robe may have unwittingly given him just the reaction he wanted. The Hollywood tough guy Al Pacino could hardly suppress laughter when the prince appeared in an ankle-length, well, I can't pronounce that, jalaba, the flowing robe of the Muslim faith, over his collar and tie and polished loafers. A friend of the prince said he actually has several wacky outfits that he likes to wear when people are around because they can often help break the ice.
Now, I thought, how many other wacky outfits would the guy have?
I mean, what's he sitting on? I did see him once open a bridge as Princess Leia.
Did you?
Yeah.
It would have been Tuesday then.
That's right. And I did remember him attend a Royal Command performance once as Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, you can cop that if you show up.
Yep, what else? There's a Captain Picard seat in there somewhere.
And he does a fantastic Dr. Smith.
No.
So if you get him on a Thursday...
What's he up to?
I don't know. Has he been taking a leaf out of the Spice Girls book? Because he's been hanging out with the Spice Girls. Yep. Have you seen those photographs of him having his ass grabbed by one of the Spice Girls?
Spice Girls going the grope.
And, of course, they're in Cannes, you know, talking about their film that isn't made yet. We had Bob Spears on the show recently, directed Fawlty Towers. He's going to be directing the film, Spice the Movie. And I think Jennifer Saunders, you know, from Absolutely Fabulous, is co-writing the script. So, you know, it sounds like it could be half decent.
I know. Half decent.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's some potential there. But what's it going to be?
I don't know.
What are they going to be doing? It says they're just going to be... there's some phrase that they use, like, we're going to be revealing our various characteristics. So Sexy Spice is going to be sexing on.
Yeah.
You'll have Sporty Spice in the tracky dacks, just, you know, throwing javelins and stuff.
Sure.
What will Posh Spice be doing? Just looking haughty. And buying expensive things.
Getting around with a plum in her mouth.
Have you noticed that with Posh Spice? Because, you know, when you see the five of them photographed together, they're all exhibiting their individual characteristics, and she's sort of the posh one. But when you photograph her on her own, she just looks like a snobby bitch. Have you noticed that? The Posh Spice persona doesn't work outside of the context of the Spice Girls.
Right, there's the problem.
Do we think about things way too much on this program? So. Call us up, tell us how you've made a dick of yourself. That's what we're doing. And you'll win a Lost World pack. Plus, you'll go into the draw for a trip for two to Hong Kong for the, well, the premiere of The Lost World. It's no Spice Girls movie.
Oh, no.
But it's a top view, and it's courtesy of Steven Spielberg, and you could be there rubbing shoulders with the stars if you come out of the barrel this Friday. Call us now, 1-800-657-657.
Dad had a mental breakdown, and this is where it all started.
Yes, indeed. It's time for our pre-budget edition of Prize Dicks here at Martin Molloy. And we've got four dicks on the phone. Hang in there, people. Remember, it's free. It's costing you nothing. In fact, after the competition, stay on for a couple more hours at our expense. Go for your life. Don't hang up at all. Yeah. Who's going first, Mick?
Let's look in the direction of Sharon. Are you there, Sharon?
Yeah, I'm here.
That's the way. How are you going?
Oh, not bad.
Okay, and how have you made, at least a little bit of a dick of yourself?
Well, I go to Catholic school, and we had to have an Anzac Day paraliturgy.
Oh, yes.
And they decided to put me up for a little speech.
Right.
And the person that was on before me was really tall.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly tall.
Okay.
And I got up there and I couldn't get the microphone to work, so cursed away. Oh, Jesus. The microphone worked.
Oh, just as the mic came on. Yep. Oh, and how did that go down?
Well, not too well.
Did you follow up with, oh, Christ, how embarrassing. Did you throw that in?
No. I just stopped then.
So nobody saw the funny side?
Oh, they did. All the students did.
All right. Well, you'll know next time, Sharon.
Yeah, not do it.
Okay, I wish we could offer you some kind of penance, but we're not really qualified. Is that what they do?
Yeah, that's it. You have to go smack yourself around with the rosaries or something, don't you?
Oh, it's not a three-pack of CDs?
No, not anymore.
Oh, Jesus, okay.
No.
They're always changing there.
I know, it's hard to keep up.
All right, thanks, Sharon. Now we're speaking to Andrew. Are you there, Andrew?
G'day, fellas.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good.
Where are you calling us from?
Sydney.
Sydney, and what have you done?
All right, a couple of weeks ago, I went and saw the Beavis and Butthead movie.
Oh, yep.
And I didn't even know what I was in for. I was with a mate, and first 10 minutes, laughing my head off so loud, I got kicked out.
Oh, kicked out of a film, a comedy film, for laughing too much.
Yep.